And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَاذْكُرْ رَبُّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ. Remember your Lord whenever you forget. While لَا تَخُذُهُ سِنَةً وَلَا نَوْمٌ. No drowsiness nor sleep overtakes him. He never forgets. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Who is one who will intercede with him except by his permission? Here we learn from the placement of ذَا الَّذِي that مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي, who is one who will dare to intercede with Allah except with his permission? What is shifa? If you look at an example, we can possibly understand. For example, there is a boy who leaves his father out of anger. The father doesn't call him back himself, but tells the boy's uncle or older brother to call the foolish boy back and tell him to apologize, and then that he will forgive him. So the father does the intercession himself. This is called shifa'at. This is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already decided to forgive a certain person. So he will allow an in-between person to intercede or make shifa'at for the person Allah intends to forgive. The person who Allah allows to intercede is given an honor by this means of asking for the other person's forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that intercession a means of forgiveness for one person and a means of giving honor to the person making the intercession. But we must remember that if Allah doesn't want to forgive someone and some person comes and will make Allah forgive that person, this will not happen. Some people have the misconception that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not want to forgive certain people, but so-and-so wali or Nabi will come to Allah on the Day of Judgment and will say to Allah, O Allah, just forgive this person. This is from my ummah, so forgive him. And think that Allah would not reject their intercession. No, this is not how it is. There was a similar concept in Arabs. They thought the idols they worshipped represented deities they considered as daughters of Allah. Na'udhu billah. And said they were so beloved that they will say to Allah to leave their worshippers, and Allah would not refuse. Na'udhu billah. This is how shirk begins. The person goes and bows and tries to please those whom they consider will intercede for them in front of Allah. And then do not consider it necessary to worship and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why some people go to the graves of certain deceased people. They put coverings on the graves and try to please them. So if they are pleased, they will intercede for them on the Day of Judgment. This way, they don't have to make the effort to change their own wrongdoings. They make this an easy way out and try to do their bribing as for all other matters. Or they think they will grab onto their support on the Day of Judgment and they will be saved. This is not shifa'at. We cannot consider these means of salvation on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, who dares to intercede with me on behalf of anyone without my permission? No one will dare to speak on behalf of anyone on the Day of Judgment. In this life, we have those who testify in behalf of a person to the judges regarding certain circumstances, and they present their cases. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the intentions, knows each and every matter that comes to a person's mind, and it is written with him. So who will dare to speak on behalf of anyone else there? This concept of speaking on behalf of someone we sympathize with is only in this life. We learned in Surah Al-Baqarah, واتقوا يوم لا تجزي نفس عن نفس شيئا ولا يقبل منها شفاعة ولا يؤخذ منها عدل ولا هم ينصرون. That day, no intercession will benefit anyone there, and they will not be helped. Regarding making intercession with Allah on behalf of someone, there are two points to remember. الشفاعة will happen. إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ, only with the permission of Allah, intercession will be made. First, for whom Allah wills to intercede on behalf of someone. And it will not be that they can intercede for just anyone they want. Number two, for one Allah wants the intercession be made for. These two things one must remember and realize in regards to intercession. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends intercession for someone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cast in their hearts. It will not be that Allah will make a loud proclamation announcing whom He wants intercession for, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cast in the hearts of people who will make intercession and for whom Allah wants them to intercede for. He will put it in their hearts. The first intercession we learn about is called Shifat al-Kubra from a long narration. On the day of Qiyamah, people will go to the prophets to ask them for Allah to begin the judgment. The prophets will say, "We cannot speak about anything to Allah today due to the horror of that day." They will go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who will make dua to Allah, which is called Shifat al-Kubra, for Allah to come and decide about the mankind. As the day of Qiyamah is a very difficult day, this honor will be given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then other intercessions will take place. Among them will be to take people to Jannah. Anbiya or the prophets will have the right to this intercession. The awliya of Allah, the salihin who are the righteous people, and others we learn about in the hadith, such as the huffaz of Quran and certain others. But only those Allah allows to intercede will be able to do it, not from one's own will. We learn about a hadith in which we learn about those who were considered alim or a scholar in this world, and then one most generous in giving charity, and a shaheed. On the day of judgment, they will be thrown in hell upon their faces. Why? As in the hadith, the first person to be brought forth will be the shaheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enumerate his blessings upon him and then will ask, "What right did you give for my blessings?" He will say, "O Allah, I fought in your path and was martyred." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "No, you lie. You did it because you wanted to be called brave among people, and you were considered that in the world." The same for Alim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, "What right did you give for my blessings?" He will say, "I gained knowledge and taught people the knowledge of deen and taught Quran to people." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "No, you lie. You taught people so people could call you an alim, and you taught people Quran so people could call you a qari, and you received the recognition in the world and nothing for you here." So he too will be dragged and thrown into the hell. In this world, they received a lot of respect, but we do not know what their intentions were, and we do not even know upon what their life ends. Was their end upon faith or not? We cannot say about anyone that he is a wali or near Allah. Looking at someone's apparent deeds, we cannot know about anyone, except the prophets, who were innocent and protected and free from sins. But would they intercede for anyone from their own will? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Az-Zumar, قُلِ اللَّهِ الشَّفَاعَةُ جَمِيعًا. Tell them, all the authority for intercession is with Allah. And in Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَلَا يُشْرِكُ فِي حُكْمِهِ أَحَدًا. And he makes none to share in his decision and rule, not any Nabi nor any Wali. Then how can one say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will make sure he is forgiven? From the ahadith, we do learn that if one has even a speck of faith in their heart, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will make dua for them, and that person will eventually come out from the hellfire, but only by the will of Allah. Now, how long Allah wants to keep that person in hell, no one can force upon Allah. When one only thinks about the intercession, they do not make the effort themselves. It will make a person useless and lazy, and would not want to do anything themselves, but think they will be saved on the day of judgment. Or they say, my child is doing good things, he will intercede for me on the day of judgment. While we do not even know if the deeds of those we rely upon are even accepted, we must prepare ourselves for that day. So who can dare to intercede for anyone except for whom he permits? No one will dare to make a movement that day. Everyone will stand as a humble slave. No one will dare to speak on behalf of anyone else, except to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicates to intercede. Without the permission of Allah, even the prophets will say, we cannot ask from Allah today. They will be so fearful. If the prophets will be so fearful, how will the rest of the mankind feel? يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. Allah is one who knows whatever is in front of them and whatever is behind them. What does in front and behind mean? In front means future, which is ahead, and behind means the past. This is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not restricted to past, the present, and the future. He knows about the future just as he knows of today. We cannot know about the future, even the next moment, what is in it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. This is why when we make dua of istikhara, we say, Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmika. O Allah, I seek goodness from your knowledge and with your power. Wa innaka ta'lamu wa la a'lamu wa anta 'allamul ghuyub. And in this dua we ask, O Allah, you know and I do not know, and you alone have the knowledge of the unseen. Because future is ghaib or unseen. He has knowledge of all the unseen. He knows what is in front of us and what is behind us. He knows our future, as we say, إِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ. Yet people go to fortune tellers or sorcerers to find out what will happen to them. Why don't we go to the one who is the only one who knows? The one with complete knowledge. He knows the future and the past. He is Al-Aleem, all-knowing. What else does in front of us and behind us mean? Literally, if there is a window or a wall, we can see that, but we do not know what is behind us. But Allah knows what is behind us, what we cannot see. And another meaning of in front of us is something that is apparent, and something behind is what is hidden. So he knows what is hidden from us, and he knows what is the ghaib and unseen from us. And what is in front of us, what we can see, he knows the reality of what we can see. Subhanallah. He knows the hidden conditions and the apparent conditions. Man fears that other people find out about certain things and stops from sinning from fear of people, but doesn't fear Allah as he should be feared, knowing he is Al-Aleem and he is all-seeing. As a story about a father and son who enter a garden to steal, the father climbs the tree and tells his son, "If you see someone coming, tell me." So when the father reaches the top of the tree and starts picking off the fruits, the child starts screaming, "Someone is looking, someone is looking." The father quickly comes down and sees that there is no one. Then he asks, "Where is one looking?" The boy says, "Allah is watching." The father says, "I already knew that." But despite knowing this, that did not affect his life. But this affected the life of the child, because the child had yaqeen. He knew with conviction about Allah. This yaqeen brings the fear necessary to change your actions. He is the all-knowing, Al-Aleem. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. And no one can encompass with anything from his knowledge, except whatever he wills to give from it. His knowledge is so vast, no one can encompass it or gain from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Qaf, Ayah 16, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. And certainly we created the mankind, and we know about the waswasas that arise inside of him. We know even about them, and the thought comes to a person later, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of it beforehand, even before it comes. Sometimes we get such inappropriate thoughts. We fear of people finding out, but we do not feel shame from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذلكم الله ربكم. This is your Allah, your Rabb. And He is Al-Aleem. And He is aware of each and everything at every moment and all the time. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُ. Know that Allah knows what is in yourselves, so fear Him. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows and you do not know. Well, the problem with man is that he thinks he knows everything. For example, if anyone is called to the Quran, they say, "We know it already.
We know. You don't have to tell us."
While our knowledge is so minute and insignificant compared to his knowledge. But with such dare, we say we cannot understand the commands of Allah. What does it mean? Why we say such things? We cannot encompass his knowledge. وَإِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِهُ الْغَيْبِ. With him are keys of the treasuries of the ghaib, or unseen. لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. His knowledge no one knows about except he. And in Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. And he knows what is in the land and in the seas. The scientists have done so much research about the seas and the oceans, but still have not gained complete knowledge of it. New discoveries of species of fish are made every day.
وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا.
And no leaf falls except he has the knowledge of it. This is something no one can keep record of. How many leaves have fallen in our city? Which leaf is still in the air? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows which wind will come and take it wherever it goes. Every leaf falls with his permission. Not even a leaf falls without his permission. We can see so many leaves that have fallen in the fall season, but no one can count nor keep track of it. But Allah is a record of each and every leaf. He has counted them. He knows how many drops of water are in the ocean, How many evaporated and became clouds? How many drops will fall in form of rain? Every raindrop falls accounted for and counted. Not falling haphazardly. This is Allah. ولا حبة في الظلمات الأرض ولا رطب ولا يابس إلا في كتاب مبين. And no grain in the darkness of earth, the grain we put in the soil and forget about. And we do not even know what happens to it, if it rots or grows into a seedling. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it, what is hidden in the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will know when our life is cut off, and what will happen when we are placed in the ground. What is happening to us there will be hidden from people, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will know about it. And about dry and wet, He knows about it. All is written in a book of records. His knowledge is such. How can one question with such knowledge? We get impressed with people's degrees. While the knowledge of Allah is so great that even if a leaf falls, He knows of it. He knows who died and who will die. He even knows who will die thousands of years later. He even knows how many ants have died, how many are alive, how many are ready to be born. How many goats were slaughtered this day all over the world? Where is Hairfell, who ate each and every piece of meat from it? Where its bones were disposed of and where its skins went? He knows how many in one particular day, how many fish, chicken, cows, and goats, where they were sacrificed, how many are being eaten, and who is eating them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a count of each morsel of food. This is our great Rabb, the Sustainer, the Lord. Shouldn't man submit to Him in humility, that my Rabb is all-knowing, and His knowledge is the complete knowledge. And He is not dependent that the angels inform Him of each and everything. He sees it Himself. Even if it is in the pitch dark, He knows and sees just as much as is something in the light. For Him, past, present, and future are all the same, and His knowledge is His own. If we think of the darkest of night, in the darkest forest, in it a black rock, and upon it a black ant walking. Our Rabb doesn't say, I see the movement of the ant, but says He can see the line made by the tiny footprints left by the minute ant. He sees even that. We cannot understand the vastness and expanse of His knowledge. We cannot even know what is happening upon other stars and planets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no one can encompass His knowledge, meaning gaining a complete understanding of His knowledge. No creation can do it, except what He gives to whom He wants of His knowledge. It is not possible to gain complete knowledge, even in one field. There is no scientist that can say they have complete information about a certain branch that they are studying, nor say nothing else needs to be learned about a certain matter. Rather, new research is made every day. Even if we look at the human body, so much research has been done on the human body, but every day new things are discovered. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given man only a drop of knowledge from His knowledge. And with His permission, all the knowledge man has received so far is given to him by the will of Allah. Besides it, no one can get it. So all the discoveries and inventions in this world, and the discoveries made from explorations, this knowledge was gained by the permission of Allah. We get impressed with discoveries and advancements, but it is Allah who gave it to man. So we should be grateful and magnify Allah and praise Him. Even from the drop of knowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given man, so much advancement has taken place. If we want to see the reality of limitations on man's knowledge, we can look at the example of the missing Malaysian airline. They have tried so hard and used so many means to locate it, but to no avail. No one knows where it is. Even things that disappear in the Bermuda Triangle, the scientists cannot figure out where the ships and the planes go, despite the satellite abilities. People question, where are the people of Yajuj and Majuj? They say they have looked all over the earth and no trace of them. They cannot locate one plane. Where would they find Yajuj and Majuj? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden them until Allah wills they will remain hidden. This is in the knowledge of Allah. The day Allah wills, He will reveal them and people will know about them. There is cancer and other illnesses such as AIDS, but cannot discover its cure until Allah wills, until Allah gives the knowledge to man from His treasuries of His knowledge. No man will know. Researches are being made to find out what happens after death, and scientists have put recorders in the grave with the dead to hear what happens. But they do not know what happens after death. We know from what Allah has revealed to us from His wahi. They can do all the researches, but will never find out. What about the soul? We do not know its reality, what it is. We all have faith in the fact that there is a soul, but we do not have the knowledge of it. Allah gives man knowledge from His treasury of knowledge, as much as He wills. And if He doesn't will, He does not give it, and gives when He wills. As we say, Newton discovered gravity by observing the apple fall. Was it the first time an apple fell from a tree? Apples were falling for centuries. It was not Newton's own knowledge, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed to give him knowledge of gravity from his knowledge. So whether it is the knowledge of deen or knowledge of this world, whenever it is learned or discovered, it just doesn't happen on its own. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the knowledge from his treasury of knowledge to whom He wills and when He wills. So we should all make dua, O Allah, with You are all the treasuries of knowledge. So Allah, decree for us to gain some knowledge of Your deen. O Allah, grant us knowledge which helps us recognize You. Otherwise, no one can reach His knowledge. He has treasuries of everything, treasuries of knowledge, treasuries of honor, of wealth, sustenance, health. One who has treasuries of everything, we leave him and go to others and ask from them. We just learn he has the keys of the ghaib, or unseen. For example, if I have the keys to a room and someone needs to go in the room, how will the person be able to enter it if I do not open the door? So the keys of all the treasuries are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until He opens, whether it be of knowledge, wealth, or provision, honor, statuses, ranks, no matter what it is, until He wills, no one can gain from them. So ask from Him, He has all the treasuries. His throne is vast and spread out over the heavens and the earth. What does Kursi mean? One meaning, ulama say, is the authority. His authority is so vast that it covers the entire expanse of heavens and the earth. But another meaning is the actual kursi or footstool. In one hadith, it is mentioned that kursi is a footstool. We cannot try to think or imagine how it is a footstool. This is something beyond what we can truly understand. So it's better not to go into it. As we just learned, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. It cannot come into our understanding except as much as Allah wills to give us. This knowledge Allah did not give us, so we cannot go after it or understand it. So kursi is that has surrounded the heavens and the earth. We cannot truly understand what this kursi is in reality. although we learn from Ibn Abbas, who is a companion, he stated that if the seven heavens and the seven earths were spread out and all are joined into one, it will be in comparison to the kursi as a ring in the desert. If we look at our own ring, and if it falls in our own homes, we cannot find it. So in one big desert, if there is one ring, what would that be like? So if the seven heavens and the seven earths were joined, it would be like a ring in the desert in comparison to the kursi. So small in comparison to the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, it is mentioned that the kursi, in comparison to the throne, is like a metal ring in a vast empty land. Therefore, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was describing the greatness of Allah, said Allah's kursi has surrounded the heavens and the earth, just as a new saddle sounds, the kursi groans or sounds from the greatness of Allah. Subhanallah. So how are the angels holding the kursi and those holding the throne? There are many narrations, but their authenticity is not verified. Therefore, we will not go over that. But from this hadith, we can learn the comparison of kursi to the heavens and the earth and how it is. And the skies we consider so vast, it includes all the galaxies, stars, the planets. In comparison to all of them, the kursi is compared, not the sky in front of us. And the seven earths doesn't mean our earth alone, but whatever is in the universe. If they are joined, this is how small and insignificant in comparison to the kursi. And if we look at the throne, that is something befitting Allah's majesty and no comparison to it. In one riwayah or narration, it is mentioned that those angels that bear the kursi and those that hold the throne of Allah, between them there are 70 hijabs or veils of darkness and 70 veils of nur or light. And the thickness of every hijab or veil covers the distance of 500 years. And if there was no hijab or veil, those bearing the kursi would get burned from the nur or light of those bearing the earth or the throne. Allah knows this best. This is beyond our understanding. وَلَا يَعُوذُهُ حِفْظَهُمَا. And Allah is one who doesn't tire from guarding them. He maintains, guards, sustains the entire universe, but He doesn't tire from guarding them. While we get tired taking care of one house, in comparison to work of one house, think of the work of one city, then guarding of it, then think of guarding one country, even think of all the earth's water and dry land, then the solar system, and then all the stars, the planets. Then think of all the galaxies, trillions of stars, and how many more of creation we do not know about. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of all His creation. He guards them, maintains and sustains all of them, and doesn't tire from it. No matter, He is guarding them since the existence of this universe, billion or trillions of years, He is guarding them. He is not heedless from them for even one moment. Still, He does not tire. A person thinks that when he dies and becomes dust particles, and thinks that Allah will not know about him, Allah guards even the speck, the particle of ours. One day He will say, "Kun," and all our particles will gather and we will stand in front of Him. In one hadith, it is mentioned that the hand of Allah is filled. His forgiving mankind in the day and the night doesn't decrease His treasuries. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam then asked, "Do you know when Allah created the heavens and the earth? What did He spend upon it?" As one builds a house, people ask, "How much did you spend on the house?" So when Allah created heavens and the earth, how much did He spend? Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whatever He spent on it, there was no reduction in His treasuries." We can see that how much Allah has created, but it did not reduce in Allah's treasuries. Abu Dharr stated that when I entered the masjid, I saw the Prophet ﷺ sitting, and the sun was setting. He asked me, O Abu Dharr, do you know where it is going? I said, Allah and His Rasul know best. The Prophet ﷺ stated that it goes and asks permission to prostrate to Allah, then it is granted permission. Then one day will come when it will ask permission, but it will not be given permission. He will be told to return to where it came from. That day, the sun will rise from the west. This is a Bukhari hadith. Allah is guarding and maintaining the systems of this universe, which is why the sun rises from the east and sets in the west every day. This maintaining of system and guarding it doesn't tire him. And it is not that he is maintaining one system and unaware of the other systems, such as if he turned to the stars, and that he is unaware of what is happening with the earth, or if he is turned to the mankind and he is unaware of the animals. This only happens to us. He, despite having authority over the heavens and the earth, he is not heedless or unaware of anything. وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. And He is the Most High and the Most Great. Even after learning about Allah in this ayah, we cannot truly understand His being. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is no one like Him. Intellect of man gets exhausted, gives up. He cannot truly understand. Man just needs to know that He is Al-Aliyyu Al-Azim, the Most High and the Most Great. We cannot understand His attributes properly, let alone His being. His being is beyond our intelligence. But we have to believe in it, and we know this much. وَلَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ. If all the water in the oceans become ink, and if mention of Allah is written, the seas would get exhausted, the ink would get depleted, but the mention of Allah, our sustainer, would not end. And in Surah Luqman, Allah mentions, if all the trees of the world were pens, the words of Allah describing His majesty, His might, His attributes would still not be finished, but the pens would break, the ink of the oceans would run dry. Even if you bring seven more seas like it, even then His words would not end. We cannot give the due right of this ayah. This ayah is so noble. We recite it often, but we do not know its meaning. And we do not go into its depth. How is that master our Rabb? Then how we should submit to Him? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us an understanding of Him, and we truly understand His greatness. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, where should I find one like you? You are the one who should be remembered. Who is one worthy of servitude? Only you are worthy of servitude. Is there anyone like you who is gracious, most giving, helper? You are alone, the exalted. You are unique. You are incomparable. You are far from reach of sight. Those who magnify, you cannot do it appropriately. This is our Allah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. Please listen to the recitation.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم.